Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 22nd, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first paragraph in 1 John chapter 4 is very, very important. In fact, it's a mandate to all of you as royal family of God. And very important in the day in which we live, because we are living in times of great apostasy and degeneracy in client nation USA. The mandate in 1 John 4, 1-6 is for you as royal family to distinguish between sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God and false teachers. 1 John 4 verse 1 starts out with, "Beloved, royal family of God," that's all of you, "stop believing any and every," and then the Greek word is pneuma, which might be surprising to some of you. Now, the question is, what does pneuma refer to? Well, this is the word that's used a lot of different ways in the New Testament scriptures. For example, it's sometimes used for blowing or wind or breathing and breath. Other times it's used in the Word of God for God the Holy Spirit. Other times it's used in the scriptures for the human spirit. And then other times it's used in the Word of God for spirit beings, for angels, and for evil spirits, demons. But pneuma has another important meaning. Arnton Gingrich, page 684, says pneuma is also used in the Scriptures for people, human beings who are influenced by a spirit. And this is how pneuma is used in our passage. These are human beings who are influenced by a spirit. False teachers influenced by evil spirits. Sound doctrinal teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit. So, 1 John 4, verse 1 sounds like this. Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every pneuma, influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. False teachers are a part of Satan's strategy as the ruler of planet Earth. These false teachers have a phony, hypocritical facade. Oh, they will look like sheep, but the Lord Jesus Christ declares that they are wolves. In reality, they are wolves in sheep's clothing, Matthew 7:15. They are Satan's evangelists for the cosmic system, 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15. They proclaim a false gospel, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, Galatians 1:6 through 9. And they proclaim false doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:1 calls it doctrine of demons. So in verse 2, this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. So here we have sound doctrinal teachers who are influenced by God the Holy Spirit. This is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, who teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, this paragraph, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, is actually a polemic against Gnosticism. Gnostics and Gnosticism, the false teachers. In the Apostle John's congregation, he had false teachers called Gnostics. In fact, one of the leaders was a fellow named Cerinthus. Cerinthus was actually in John's congregation. He was a false teacher, and he led many believers in John's congregation into the cosmic system. He led them away into the cosmic system. So, God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle John write the 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, which is a polemic against Cerinthian Gnosticism. And we get a little farther in, I'll take you through that and explain exactly what Cerinthus was teaching. But we have the same thing today going on in the United States of America, in pulpits all over the United States. The very same thing. So this is very important to understand. Again, verse 2, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. He influences sound doctrinal Bible teachers. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. True, sound doctrinal communicators teach the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. True, sound doctrinal communicators teach the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. This is in contrast to the false teachers of John's day, the Gnostics, who taught that Jesus Christ is not God. They denied the deity of Christ. They said Jesus Christ is not God. He did not come from heaven and take on true humanity. They denied the incarnation and virgin birth. Gnosticism rejected the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied the deity of Jesus Christ. They said that Christ was an optical illusion and that he was never God, and never was God that took on true humanity. So verse 2 again, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. He influences every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. Now, how are you going to identify sound doctrinal communicators? Well, from the God-breathed scriptures, from God's Word. And the Word of God defines the characteristics of sound doctrinal teachers. And you need to pay attention to this. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And I'm here today. I may not be here tomorrow. I might be here another year. I might be here longer than all of you. That's a scary thought. I don't want to get so old that I'm sitting up here and you can't tell whether I'm dead or alive. Some of you were concerned about that already. But I'm not the one in charge of that. I know God's already set it out. He's given me X amount of days. He knows how many days that is. And I'm looking forward to just every day He gives me to do what I'm supposed to be doing. To carry out and be a sound doctrinal Bible teacher and feed His sheep. And you are His sheep. And there's nothing I want to do more than anything else than feed the Lord's sheep. And that means I love coming here every single day, and I love studying every single day, and I love standing up here and explaining exactly what God, the Holy Spirit, is communicating in His Word. So the Word of God defines the characteristics of the sound doctrinal teacher. And these characteristics of the sound doctrinal teacher are defined and explained in 5 titles given in the God-breathed scriptures. It is very, very important for you as royal family of God to know and understand these titles of God's sound doctrinal communicators, so that you can totally comprehend what a sound doctrinal teacher is and what his modus operandi is. Now, last time we studied title number 1. Title number 1 is found in Ephesians 4:11, and we studied that. It is the title pastor teacher, or actually two Greek words describe this gift, poimen didaskalos. Pastor teacher is one person, it's one spiritual gift, and it helps describe beautifully what a sound doctrinal teacher is and what his MO should be. Poimen means a shepherd. It denotes the pastor's authority. Authority over a specific congregation. The shepherd has authority over the sheep. The sheep don't tell the shepherd what to do. He is the authority over the sheep. The pastor's authority is established through his faithful and consistent studying and teaching of the Word of God. The pastor's authority cannot exist apart from positive volition, genuine humility, objectivity, and teachability on the part of the congregation. The primary objective of the pastor is to feed the Lord's sheep, John 21:15-17. It is impossible to fulfill this primary objective apart from several factors. First of all, he has to have the possession of the spiritual gift. And sadly to say, there are many men in the ministry today who don't even have the gift of pastor-teacher. And as a result of that, they all, most of the time wind up and they are not sound doctrinal teachers. Also, proper preparation. Also, recognition of a spiritual gift. And then, once you recognize you have the gift, then intensive training is necessary. So the pastor can use the original languages and dig out things. Dig out things for himself daily and have spiritual food to feed the sheep. And therefore, the pastor must spend the majority of his time in studying and teaching the Word of God. The other word, the other Greek word with this title is didaskalos. And didaskalos emphasizes the function of the sound doctrinal communicator, which is to study and teach the God-breathed scriptures. Sound doctrinal communicators, didaskalos, emphasizes the function. Poimen, the shepherd, emphasizes the authority of the sound doctrinal communicator, while didaskalos emphasizes the function. So this spiritual gift has authority that is directly related to the function, which is the teaching of God's Word. There is no effective teaching of the Word of God apart from authority. The sound doctrinal communicator must be single-minded. The Word of God must be more important than anything in his life. And he must go out of his way not to compromise the Word of God. So, title number one for God's sound doctrinal communicator is pastor-teacher, Ephesians 4:11. Now that brings us to title number two for God's sound doctrinal communicator. And you have it translated in your Bibles, overseer. I don't know if that helps you understand it very much, but let's take a look at it. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Timothy has the gift of pastor-teacher, and Titus has the gift of pastor-teacher. And this is a deep point. I want you to listen to this. These are called the pastoral epistles. I told you, you might want to write that one down. These are the pastoral epistles. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being, and in my translation here, the NIV, it says overseer. All right, what's the Greek word? Episkopos. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-O-S. Episkopos. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, episkopos, title number two for the sound doctrinal communicator of God's Word, he desires a noble and honorable profession. Now the episkopos must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife. I don't know why anybody will want more. You're asking for trouble. Just ask Solomon. It never worked out. A husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness. Now that's pretty important. Well, if you're teaching David that he went out and slew Goliath, well, you might change that into something else, like he kicked the you-know-what out of him, you know. not violent, but gentle. I don't know. See, that's the tough one. I can still hear the colonel saying, you know, he loved to box and fight. And there's a lot of times he understands the pastor's not to be a pugilist. He can't go around punching the congregation. There's times, though, you just kind of would like to. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, that is, not an immature believer, or he may become arrogant and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So title number two for God's sound doctrinal communicator is translated here, overseer. A couple of things. One, this is the Greek word episkopos. And we get our word Episcopalian from Episcopos. However, it has absolutely nothing to do with this denomination. Two, Episcopos means overseer, supervisor, superintendent, policymaker. It should never, ever be translated bishop, as it is in the King James Version. That term is stupid and gives rise to an ecclesiastical system never, never authorized by the Word of God. So episkopos means overseer, supervisor, superintendent, policymaker. Three, the episkopos is the guardian of the flock of sheep. He's the guardian of the flock of sheep. Four, therefore, sound doctrinal communication of the Word of God through that sound doctrinal communication of the Word of God, the pastor becomes the guardian of the congregation in the sense that he is the chief policy maker for the local church. Through sound doctrinal communication of the Word of God, the pastor becomes the guardian of the congregation in the sense that he is the chief policymaker for the local church. Five, his policymaking is based on his sound doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. His policy making is based on his sound doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. All of the policy that's established by the sound doctrinal communicator is established from the God-breathed Scriptures, not because of something of his own personal thinking. It is strictly from the God-breathed Scriptures. Six, therefore, the sound doctrinal communicator function is to establish policy based on grace and based on truth. The sound doctrinal communicator's function is to establish policy based on grace and truth. Seven, as the overseer and guardian of the local church, the sound doctrinal communicator must also delegate authority to those who are qualified. And those qualifications include they must have spiritual growth. They must fulfill consistent and faithful learning and believing of the Word of God. They must have grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, fulfilling 2 Peter 3:18, to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And having the spiritual gift that qualifies them for the board of deacons. So as the overseer and guardian of the local church, the sound doctrinal communicator must delegate authority to those who are qualified. Spiritual growth, consistent and faithful, learning and believing God's word, grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and having the spiritual gift that qualifies them for the board of deacons. Now there are other passages that teach about the episcopos, and one of them is in another pastoral epistle, Titus chapter 1. So let's turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 7. Since an overseer, and that is our word episkopos, since an overseer, episkopos, is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. And then it's also seen in Philippians. Philippians 1:1. Turn over to Philippians 1:1. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, overseers, episkopos, title number 2 for the sound doctrinal communicator. And then it's used again in 1 Peter 5. First Peter 5. First Peter 5, verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, serving as overseers, episkopos, not because you must, but because you are willing, you want to, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. So the sound doctrinal Bible teacher, he doesn't stand up and teach the Word of God because he has to. It's because he wants to. There's nothing he would rather do. He is all from his free will. So that's title number 2 for God's sound doctrinal communicator. Now title number 3. Title number 3 for God's sound doctrinal communicator is the translated minister. Minister. This is the Greek word diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. Sometimes this word is used for the deacon in a local church. Other times it's used for the pastor, the sound doctrinal communicator of the local church. And when it is used for the sound doctrinal communicator, it's translated minister. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, Verse 7. You learned this from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful diakonos, a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your virtue love by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And then turn over to chapter 4, Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Tychicus, sound doctrinal communicator, will tell you all the news about me. He is a beloved brother, a faithful diakonos, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. So title number 3 that describes God's sound doctrinal communicator, diakonos, minister. So 1, this is the Greek word diakonos. And 2, diakonos means a minister. It means a servant. And literally it means a waiter. A waiter that serves food. A waiter in a restaurant that serves food. And I miss Doc, who, Tammy and Doc was here every class, every night, night after night. Doc is now in heaven. And Doc, we both had the same cardiologist, Dr. Ruggieroli. And whenever he'd go in and see Dr. Ruggieroli, he would talk to him about Bible doctrine and Jesus Christ. And he told Dr. Ruggieroli, you know what? The greatest restaurant in Las Vegas is Upland Bible Church. You need to come, Doc. It's the greatest restaurant in town, and the greatest meal you'll ever get is served right there in Upland Bible Church. I loved Doc. He was fantastic, but he's in heaven. And that he understood the principle of the word minister for God's sound doctrinal communicator. It was originally used for those who waited on tables and who served food. 3, it means a servant in the sense of serving spiritual food, sound doctrinal Bible teaching to feed the Lord's sheep. For when this word applies to the sound doctrinal communicator, the best translation is minister. That brings us to title number 4 for God's sound doctrinal communicator. You will find it in your translations as often as elder. And this is the Greek word presbyteros. I don't care for the word elder, hooked up with too much religion. Presbyteros, P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. Presbyteros. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, 5. The reason I left you in Crete, talking to pastor teacher Titus, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished. Titus was the one who could go in and straighten out a congregation that had a lot of problems. So the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint presbyteroi, elders in every town as I directed you. And then turn over to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 5. First Timothy 5, verse 17. The Apostle Paul is talking about this, these sound doctrinal communicators who are, he calls them presbyteroi. Verse 17, the elders, the presbyteroi, who direct the affairs of the church, well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at, and I hate the word preaching, proclaiming the grace and truth of the Word of God. And that, this is describing again the characteristics of the sound doctrinal communicator. The presbyteroi who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at proclaiming and teaching God's word. All right, so one, this is the Greek word presbyteros. And again, we get our word Presbyterian from presbyteros. However, it has absolutely nothing to do with the denomination. Two, presbyteros means literally the old man. The old man in the sense of being the highest authority. The old man in the sense of being the commander, the commanding officer. That's the meaning of presbyteros. The old man, the highest authority, the commander, the commanding officer. Three, it refers again to the authority of the sound doctrinal communicator. There are no apostles today in the post-canon period of the church age. There are no prophets today in the post-canon period of the church age. The highest spiritual gift for communication in this post-canon period of the church age is that of the pastor, teacher, or the elder. The commanding officer, the old man, the presbyteros. Three. So it refers to the authority of the sound doctrinal communicator. Four, every local church has only one commander. Only one presbyteros. So that means there's no such thing as plurality of elders. Brings us to title number five for God's sound doctrinal communicator. And this is translated in your Bibles, herald. That's not a guy's name. Herald. And this is the Greek word kerux. K long E R U K S. Kerux. Now this word is found in 1 Timothy 2:7. So we're in 1 Timothy. Just go back to chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Timothy 2:7. And Paul says, "For this purpose I was appointed a kerux and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles." A kerux. And then 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. 2 Timothy 1, 11. "For this purpose I was appointed a kerux, a herald, and an apostle and a teacher." All right, so a couple of things. One, this is the Greek noun kerux. Two, kerux comes from the verb keruso. Looks like that in the Greek, K long E R U S S long O. Keruso. And keruso means to proclaim the plan and the policy of the king. To proclaim the plan and the policy of the king. Three, when the king is absent, and the king is seated at the right hand of God the Father, when the king is absent, the herald carries the authority of the king. The herald carries the authority of the king. Four, therefore, the kerux is the herald for the king, the one who proclaims the policy of the king. Therefore, the kerux is the herald for the king, the one who proclaims the policy for the king. Five, the sound doctrinal communicator is the herald for the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sound doctrinal communicator is the herald for the King of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. So these five titles help give to you the characteristics of that sound doctrinal communicator. Beloved ones, royal family, stop believing any and every pneuma, influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits, analyze the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Now, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, sound doctrinal communicator, who acknowledges, teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is from God. Now, he continues on all the way down through verse 6. Now, 1 John 4, verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is in the, now this is a King James Version. I always start out with the King James Version, and I tell you, the King James Version, King James Version followed the majority text as far as it's called the Western text. And textual criticism came a long ways from the time of the King James translation. And now we have these very excellent manuscripts, Sinaiticus, Vaticanus. These texts, and when you, from these sound manuscripts, it doesn't say this. It doesn't say, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So in these major texts, what we have is, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus. That's what we have. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus. The rest that you have in the King James is not in the original autographs. So what we have is the conjunction chi plus the nominative neuter of pas plus the nominative singular of pneuma with the relative pronoun host plus the present active indicative of homologao with the negative me plus the accusative singular of Jesus with the definite article. Now we start out with the conjunction kai. K-A-I. Now you say, I know that means and. Well, sometimes it does. That's when it's a connective kai. We don't have a connective kai. We have the adversative kai. And the adversative kai may be translated however or but. The adversative kai sets up a contrast. All right? Here's the contrast. One, it sets up a contrast between the sound doctrinal communicator with the false teacher. It sets up a contrast between the sound doctrinal communicator with the false teacher. Two, it sets up a contrast between the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, influencing the sound doctrinal communicator with the spirit of Antichrist, demons influencing the false teacher. So it sets up a contrast between the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, influencing the sound doctrinal communicator, with the spirit of Antichrist, demons influencing the false teacher. Three, it sets up a contrast between sound teaching that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that is the eternal Son of God, through the incarnation and virgin birth took on true humanity, that he is now undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And again, Gnosticism denied the deity of Jesus Christ, denied the incarnation and virgin birth. So it sets up a contrast between sound doctrinal teaching that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came in the flesh, with false teaching that does not acknowledge Jesus, does not acknowledge orthodox teaching of Christology, who and what Christ is, his hypostatic union, and does not acknowledge soteriology, the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So this three, a contrast between sound teaching, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, with the false teaching that does not acknowledge Jesus, does not acknowledge orthodox teaching, does not acknowledge Christology, soteriology, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then we have pos, P-A-S, pos. And pos means every, and it modifies the noun pneuma. Now you know, pneuma is spirit, and pneuma is used here for the eloquent communicator, the persuasive communicator, the false teacher. So here, pneuma is used of the false teacher. And then the relative pronoun host, which means who, and who refers to the false teachers. And then we have the verb homologeo with the negative me. H-O-M-O-L-O-G-E long O. Homologeo. Homologeo with the negative me. Now, a couple of things on this. First of all, you're going to say, I know that. That's 1 John 1:9, homologeo. Well, it is used there. In 1 John 1:9, homologeo is the rebound verb. It means to confess, to admit, to acknowledge. It's how you get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life. And homologeo is the verb used in 1 John 1:9. Two, homologeo is also a teaching verb for communication of Bible doctrine, and it means to declare publicly, to teach, to acknowledge. So it's also a communication verb. And then point three, with the negative may, these false teachers, these persuasive communicators, do not acknowledge. They do not teach Orthodox Christology and soteriology. They do not teach Orthodox truth about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But that is going on in pulpits all over America as we speak. So with the negative made, these false teachers, these persuasive communicators do not homologeo. They do not acknowledge. They do not teach Orthodox Christology and soteriology. They do not teach Orthodox doctrine about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The present tense is a nomic present presenting an axiom of Scripture. And this is the axiom. False teachers do not acknowledge and do not teach the Orthodox doctrines of Christology and soteriology. False teachers do not acknowledge and do not teach the Orthodox doctrines of Christology and soteriology. The Orthodox doctrines about the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The active voice, false teachers perform the action of the verb, the indicative mood, reality. The reality of false teachers in John's day. False teachers, the Gnostics in John's day. Cerinthus, who was in his congregation and led so many believers into the cosmic system. So the indicative mood, the reality of false teachers in John's day who rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They rejected the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, that he was undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. They rejected the impeccability of Jesus Christ. They rejected the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So what do these false teachers not acknowledge and teach? We have in the Greek, ton Jesun. That's the accusative case of Jesus with the definite article. I'll even give it to you. It actually looks like this in the text. There's the definite article in the accusative, T-O-N, and this is Jesus in the accusative, I long E-S-O-U-N. And that is literally the Jesus. And that's how we're going to translate it. The Jesus. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed Scriptures, Orthodox Christology and Orthodox soteriology. So what do these false teachers not acknowledge and teach? One, these false teachers do not acknowledge and teach the Jesus. These false teachers do not acknowledge and teach the Jesus. Two, that is, the Jesus of the God-breathed Scriptures. That is, they do not teach the Jesus of the God-breathed Scriptures. Three, in John's day, these false teachers were called Gnostics. Gnostics. And they were very proud of that word being called Gnostics. And what they taught was Gnosticism. And that comes from the Greek word gnosis. And gnosis means knowledge. And they were very, very impressed with knowledge. And they pulled knowledge from all over. They got knowledge from all of the thinking of the day, from all the rationalism of the day, from all of the mythology of the time, from all of all the areas of false doctrine. They were impressed with knowledge. So four, they taught the false doctrine of Gnosticism. Five, they rejected and distorted the incarnation and virgin birth. They rejected and distorted the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, undiminished deity, true humanity, united in one person forever. They rejected and distorted the impeccability of Christ. They rejected and distorted the salvation work of Christ on the cross, soteriology. They rejected and distorted Christology, who and what Jesus Christ is. So, but every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, orthodox Christology and soteriology, he is not of God. This is the present active indicative of ame with the objective negative uk, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Ame, the to be verb, eimi, plus the objective negative uk. Looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Ame plus uk. That slams the door. These persuasive teachers absolutely are not. And then we have ek plus the genitive singular of theos. Ek plus the genitive. It looks the same in the Greek and the English. Ek means from or out from. They are not from theos. They are not from God. So these persuasive teachers absolutely are not from God. They are not from the living and true God. So the corrected translation, so verse 3 so far, but every persuasive speaker, every false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, absolutely is not from God. He absolutely is not from the living and true God. Well, come back next week. What we're going to do, we're going to start out and take a look at exactly what Cerinthus in John's church was teaching and what Cerinthian Gnosticism was. That'll be the introduction as we start out and continue this paragraph, verses 1 through 6. Critical to understand. And today, many, many, many Christians are following false teachers, listening to false teachers, and they don't even know what a sound doctrinal communicator is, what his characteristics are, how you can know it. And what are they doing? They are crashing and burning, being pulled into Satan's cosmic system. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.